I ask that you would turn in your Bibles to the second epistle, the second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, as we continue our journey through Paul's dialogue with the Corinthian believers through his writings. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And on this particular evening, we're going to focus on the 12th through the 18th verse of the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I do hope that you've made your way there, because I want you to hear the word of God. And we begin first by reading the 12th and the 13th verse of the 10th chapter. Hear God's word. Paul says, "Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves. But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us, to reach even to you." I want you to understand Paul's writings and understand that from the context of the setting in which this writing takes place. Paul, the evangelist, the church starter, the apostle to the Gentiles, now is writing to the believers, new converts, those who are following him in discipleship. He's writing to them, and he's concerned about them, because the setting is such, as we understand the writing, when Paul begins by saying that not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves, it lends itself, it derives from the insight that there are some critics who have made their way into the crowd. And these critics who made their way into the crowd of the Corinthian believers are calling into question Paul's authority to give direction, and spiritual direction, I should say, to this group of believers. And so he now retorts, he now has a rebuttal. Paul rejects the comparison with those who indulge themselves with self-promotion. I really want you to understand this setting. There are those within the context of the believers in Corinth who are now placing themselves against Paul's authority to give spiritual direction and trying to take advantage of the fact that Paul is not physically a part of this congregation. And so they're calling into question his ability to give them spiritual directives. They're calling into question his authority of apostolic ministry. They're calling into question his commission from God. And he is trying to live his life the way God has called him to live it. And so what happens now, they began to try to delegitimize Paul's apostolic authority and try to elevate their own illegitimacy by trying to criticize Paul. You follow me so far? They're trying to make, if you would, the critics here are trying to make themselves big by making Paul small. And Paul now is responding, because there is a grave concern that in the presence of such divisive personalities among the disciples, Paul is seeking to supply the Corinthians with reliable criteria for determining his legitimate authority to give them direction. How do you handle it when you're facing critics? Oh, you don't have critics. Okay, how do you handle it? The reality is, I really want you to see what's happening here, because the context lends itself for us to learn some things as to how we respond, and sometimes how at times we ourselves can be guilty of what the critics of Paul's ministry are guilty of. They are trying to make themselves look spiritually big by trying to compare themselves and deem Paul as being spiritually small. You with me here? And so Paul says that he would not succumb to their tactics. Look at his words. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves, though they are trying to compare themselves with Paul. Paul, in his response to their criticisms, chose to not stoop to their level. He would not practice the promotion of self at the expense of someone else just to prove that he is spiritually capable of leadership. And yet this is what's happening in the text. Can we hang out here homiletically just for a moment? Okay, no one gave me permission. I'm going to hang out anyway. You do know that, right? Okay. Because the Bible teaches us in this particular passage, and when you read verse 12 to 18, the word boasting is used at least five times within six verses. And Paul begins this retort, if you would, against the critics. But he chooses to maintain his Christian character by not throwing up credentials to verify his position. And if we're not careful, when God has called us to stand for him, called us to be testimonies of his gospel, if we are not careful, we ourselves can begin to become critical and judge others by trying to lift ourselves up higher than we ought to. Can we talk for a moment here? Hear me, brothers and sisters. There is such a thing as a believer's boast. But our boasting is not at the expense of others. Paul says he's not going to fall into the practice of classifying or comparing himself to someone else. Hear me well. The Bible teaches us time and time again in the pages of scriptures that we ought to beware of boasting. Hear me well. Psalm 49 and 13 said, "Futile is the path of those who have foolish confidence, and yet after them people approve of their boasting." Psalm 75 says, "I say to the boastful, do not boast, and to the wicked, do not lift up a horn." Psalm 12 and 3, "May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boast." Psalms 5 and 5, "The boastful shall not stand before the eyes of the Lord." Because anytime we try to lift ourselves up at the expense of another and consider ourselves more highly than we ought, God says we're in danger of his judgment. So Paul would not succumb to these tactics, but instead what Paul does is Paul is mindful of his behavior that he does not become judgmental. If we're going to live lives that God has called us to live, we have to have boundaries within our own lives and take care that our boasting is not godless. You hear me? That our boasting is not our own ability, because truthfully, self-commendation is silly. That's what Paul says. Paul says they do it without wisdom. Look at his wording. He says, "Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves. But when they measure themselves by one another," do you see it there? "And compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding." Anytime our measuring rod is another person, it's a practice of folly. Hear me well. As believers, if we're looking over our shoulder and down our noses at someone else so that we can look highly at ourselves, it's a practice of folly. It's silliness, self-condemnation, lifting yourself up by your own standards. And this is what the false apostles are doing in text. Because particularly in this particular context, the false apostles are setting standards that they've already accomplished within their own lives and then claiming that they're superior because they have met certain standards that were not the standards for apostolic authority. And so now they challenge Paul and say, since Paul has not made the standard, he's not a legitimate apostle. Beware, because self-commendation is silly. Hear me well. And self-promotion at another person's expense is sinful. The practice of striving to promote yourself at another person's expense by belittling them is a sinful practice. So I want you, brothers and sisters, to take care. Don't compare and become guilty of what I call spiritual classism. It's when, as those within the body have such a negative criticism of others because we have grown spiritually. I told you it's silly. It's sinful. And you don't want to be found guilty because that kind of boasting is godless boasting. And Paul says they measure themselves. Here is wording. They measure themselves against each other. It's like taking a yardstick. Like taking a yardstick and comparing yourself as a yardstick to another yardstick. By what grounds do we have to compare who's better at what when all of us are made in the image of God? Are you with me here? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And those who've come to repentance and salvation through grace, we all came by means of grace, a gift of God. And so it wasn't of ourselves. So who are we to look down our spiritual noses at anyone else? Are you with me here? So Paul says, it's foolish. It's without wisdom that they are comparing themselves to each other to make themselves look good. Can I sit on the bench on your front porch right for a moment? Have you done that? Look down at someone else because they don't have the spiritual understanding that you have? Become so critical with someone or criticizing them because you legitimize your spirituality by their lack of spirituality? This is godless boasting. We got a lot of ground to cover, so let me hurry on here. Look what Paul says. He says, we're not going to do that. We're not going to have spiritual classism. We're not going to be guilty of saying one is more spiritual than the other. That's not his approach. That's not what he's choosing to do in light of those who are trying to compare themselves to him. Look at verse 13. But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with the regard to the area of influence God has assigned to us to reach even you. Because though there are many passages in the Bible that warn us against the practice of boasting, there is Psalm 34 and 2, where the psalmist says, my soul will make a boast unto the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. Psalm 44 and 8, in God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name forever. There is a boasting that honors God. But that boasting comes with boundaries. The boundaries to boasting begins with God. Hear Paul's words. Paul says, but we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God has assigned to us. Boundaries to boasting begins with God. And guess what? Oh, they put that up there already? It begins with God and it ends with God. That there is no area of boasting outside of the work of God. So when we look at our own lives and our spiritual growth, and you should grow spiritually, we don't compare our spiritual growth to another person because we understand that that person who's in God, and just like we're in God, guess what? We're all in his hands. So no matter where he holds your ruler or your life, you're still in his hands, and you're not in any position to look down on anyone else who's in his hands. You with me here? And so the boundaries to a believer's boasting begins with God and it ends with God. He says very clearly, he says, we will boast, but our boasting has limits. It's on the area of influence that God has assigned to us. Understand it. that as human beings, created in the image of God, yet stained by sin, there is nothing in us worth boasting about. Because the only thing, Pastor Wade, that's within us that's worth boasting about is the God who holds us. So whenever we look at our lives and we have credit for what God has given and allowed us to do, be very mindful that when we tell others of our story, that you don't leave God out of the story, because boasting to the believer begins with God. And it, I thought you wrote it down. It's right there on your paper. It ends with God. Why? Because God affords the opportunity. Look at Paul's writing. Paul says that their influence is from God, that God assigned to them. So the opportunity is afforded by God. God affords the opportunity. Guess what else? It's God who enables the ability. And I bet you can figure out the next one. It's God. I don't see it yet. But it is God who provides the success. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says, our boasting is with boundaries. It's limited because what we have is of God's influence, and it's because of God that we're even able to influence you. So Paul acknowledges that everything he was able to accomplish in ministry wasn't from his human ingenuity, but it was from the divine presence of God working in his life and also in the lives God assigned him to go and reach. Did you hear me? That God works through the vessel, through the believer, to reach others who he's already working on their hearts to receive the message that you're going to bring to them. So if we're going to boast, our boasting ought to be in God. It's amazing. I don't know. Let me. I'm not going to take credit. Let me just check for a moment. Any of y'all ever sat your child on your lap and let them drive down the driveway? No, I'm looking. I want to see. Okay, here we are. Yeah. I'm not advocating the practice. I'm just saying, you know, that. And you remember the joy you saw in their faces as they thought in their minds they were controlling the wheel. They were excited about it. They were in control of the wheel as they were driving this big machine, and they were all excited, but they were sitting in your lap because you were doing the work. Hear me well, I'm trying to get you somewhere. For the believer, just like that child that runs in and says, I drove the car. Y'all might want to edit that we don't get anybody in trouble here. That's how our lives are in ministry, that when we are in the presence of God, filled with the power of God to do what God has called and commissioned us to do, that we understand that it's through God that we're able to do what we do, and we take joy in the fact that he lets us participate in his work. Because our boasting is in who? It's in God. Paul says, it's the area of influence that God has given to me. And notice how he addresses his critics. He's not addressing his critics by using his own credentials or by leveling the fact that, hey, you know what? I got this credential. I went through this school. I did this. I'm trained. No, that's not what Paul does. Paul says that everything that was done through me, to me, and to the Corinthian believers is because of God. Don't miss this. Because without God, boasting becomes idolatrous. Without God, our boasting is lifting ourselves up on a human pedestal that is a weak foundation to stand on. So we boast not in ourselves, not in the credentials, but in God. We understand that it is God who gave us the ability to do what we do. It's God who gave us the ability, the voices in which to sing, the hands in which to work, the bodies in which to live. It's God that gave it to us. And so since God is the one to give it to us, he's the one that who should receive the credit for what's done good through it. Are you with me? And so Paul addresses his critics by saying he won't stoop to their level, but rather he tells them he's going to boast in God. Because boundaries to boasting begins with God and it ends with God. Because God affords us all of our opportunities. God affords us where we are. God enables you to do what he's called you to do as a believer. And as a believer, God has called and commissioned you to a work. And that work may be on the campus. That work may be in a community. That work may be in your workplace. But it's God who called and commissioned you to the work. But never be so naive to think that you're doing it on your own. Boasting that honors God occurs when believers communicate him. You're going to get this. The kind of boasting that honors God occurs when believers communicate him. Look at the text. Paul continues in verse 14. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you, for we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond the limits in the labor of others, but our hope is that as your faith increase, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in the lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Believers are called to boasting. We're called to boast. We ought to make a loud noise when it comes to our lives, not giving ourselves the credit when it comes to our ministries, not giving ourselves the credit, but our boasting is to honor God, and that happens when our communication honors God. Our communication in living and in speaking and all that we do, when it honors God, then our boasting honors God. Communication, you can communicate confidently that which God accomplishes through you. Look at Paul. Paul is not denying the fact that they're vessels. He's not denying the fact that they had labored. Look what he says. We're not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you. He's taking credit that we have made a difference in the lives of the Corinthian believers. Paul's saying, I've made a difference. God has used me to make a difference. But look at his words. He says, we came first with the gospel of Christ. We're not boasting beyond our limits of labor. That means we're not taking credit for what somebody else did and try to fix our names to it. But we are recognizing that we did labor. But our labor was through God. There's nothing wrong, believers, with having confidence enough to tell others what God has allowed you to accomplish. Did you catch that? We ought not practice a false humility as though we ought not take credit for the confidence that God has placed in. We are so confident in God that when God has gifted you with an ability, it's okay to say, I'm gifted in that ability, but don't give yourself credit. Who do we give credit to? You got all the answers to the page. That's it right there. We give credit to God. We communicate confidently that which God accomplished through us, but you don't taint your testimony by taking credit for God's work that he does through others. Look at what Paul says. Paul says, we do not boast beyond our limits. Our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence increases among you may be greatly enlarged. So we preached the gospel in lands before, but look, without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. You ever been there when somebody took credit for your work? Oh, okay, all right. I mean, really. When you labored over that, and then you turned it in, and they signed their name to it. Have you been there? You remember how it felt? You wanted to say something about it, didn't you? But the good Christian in you said, I'm going to. Yeah, I bet. It's plagiarism to take someone else's work and attach your name to it. And I wonder, when God looks at the spiritual development and the spiritual work of what he's allowed us to engage in as believers, would he cite us for plagiarism? Taking credit for his work that he's done. And in this context, Paul's saying, despite the critics, I'm not taking credit for work that God has done through other people. I'm just taking credit for the work that God has done through me. Don't miss this. Because when we begin to falsify our testimony, believers, we taint and discredit ourselves from showing God's glory to the world. But if you just tell your story and you have God in your story, then God will receive glory from your story. It doesn't have to be like anyone else's. But if God has touched your life, then somebody can be blessed through your life story. I'm mindful of, you know what? I said this sermon, I wasn't going to tell y'all anything about my children. I did. But I remember a time when this certain father, no names, was trying to address his sons. No names. Don't look that way. Look this way. And one of the more strong personalities in the house said, "That's not mine." Now, you know, as a father, some fathers, you'll help me out here. When you see laundry, you just see whatever's going to fit, right? You just, you know, here, boy, put that on. That's how it works. Y'all going to leave me by myself, I'm fellas. Y'all going to just leave me by myself here. And so here I am, and he says, "That's not mine." I said, "Well, how do you know it's not yours?" He's like, "Daddy, it don't fit me right." Oh, wait a minute. I just took credit, didn't I? Boss trying not to do that. But here's the reality. Because there are certain things that happens that God uses other people for his glory, that doesn't fit you. But that doesn't mean your story and how God uses you is any less significant or any more significant than how God uses them. Because there are people in your concentric circle of influence that only you can influence. Hear me well. And don't just run past it, and don't discredit your ability for God to use you, and don't marginalize it by adopting someone else's story. But rather, as Paul says, take credit for what God is doing through your life. And you know what God is doing through your life, and you confidently communicate that so that God is seen. And not only do you not taint your own testimony by taking credit for God's work through others, continue confidently with, what you think goes there? God's glory as your objective. I want you to see this. Look at what Paul says. Paul says in the text, verse 16, "So that we may," we want, verse 15, we don't want to boast beyond our limits, but our hope is this, hear the hope, "that you increase in faith, that those he influences increase in faith, and that our area of influence among you might be greatly enlarged, not so that our names would be great." Look at his objective, verse 16, "so that we may preach the gospel in the lands beyond you, without boasting about work that has already done." Why? "Because let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends." Look at his objective. Look at his motivation. That Paul's motivation is this, that we make such an impact on the lives that are around us that God exponentially increases that influence so that we can do even greater work for God, not for his own glory, but for the glory of God. And that's the only glory that matters. Because anytime there is a story, if God is not the part of the story that you are telling, then it's not worth bragging about. Because God is the reason that we're able to be who we are as believers. God is the reason we're able to do what he's called and commissioned us to do. God is the reason why we're able to influence and impact lives for his glory. He said, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So this week, I want you to go out boasting. I encourage you to go out boasting. You ought to brag about God and what God has done and is doing in your life and through your life. And watch how God receives the glory. And in doing so, the final verse, verse 18, says, this is how we get a commendation from the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. To gain Christ's approval during life and after death was Paul's mission. And he strived to do so by being a willing vessel for God's usage. Brothers and sisters, if you have not gotten to a point in your life where you have yielded to God, that he has become the answer that fills in the blanks in your life, today is a good day to do that. Looking at your sheet, I tell you, God is the answer. He's the only answer that matters. And wherever there's a space in your life, God is so much God that he can fill it. But you got to be willing to let him write his name on the blank. Jesus Christ made that possible. Because through his death, burial, and resurrection, we all are able to come in right relationship with God. And even when those are out, people out there may criticize our stance, may criticize our standards, we are challenged because of when we know what God has done for us. We are challenged to not stoop to the level of criticism, but rather say, had it not been for the grace of God, I would be in the same situation that they're in. And use that grace that God has given you to reach someone else. He's the answer to every blank in your life. And if you accept him as Lord and Savior, if you believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you will be in right standing with God. And you too will come to know that in God, there's a lot worth bragging about. Because no one can love you like God will love you. No one will accept you like God will accept you. And no one can use you and give you purpose for living like God can.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.